from the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, the sports animal.
Lots for us to dive into when it comes to the NFL draft. A lot of winners there are, a lot of losers. I believe you just mentioned something there, Kaner, briefly about Aaron Rodgers. Man, we're going to dive into this because even when Aaron Rodgers mentions that he needs more help offensively for this team, even some of the moves that the Green Bay Packers made, very much head scratching some of the things that they were doing in particular with their team. And it makes you ask yourself, is the front office ready to commit to making Green Bay better? For some, they say yay. Others, perhaps maybe not so much. You know, you look at these teams as a whole. We talked even yesterday about it a little bit, about the Tennessee Titans. Mel Kiper, he has them knocked down as his 29th best draft. And then what did we learn yesterday? Well, things aren't going so well for the Titans already with one of their selections. We'll dive into that pick coming up in a matter of moments as well. But just overall, you look at the league, and, you know, it's usually difficult because in some way teams, even if they are your favorite team, you find a way to kind of, I don't know, view it in an area where it makes it seem like your team did well, maybe one position, but not as a whole. And then you have some of those circumstances where other teams would leapfrog you based on how many picks they had. Man, I had to go back last night when we were setting up today's show. I just happened to scroll through the draft and look at how many teams were shortchanged. And I'm not just talking about the Houston Texans picks. I'm not talking about because of the fact that they traded away half of their draft capital for Laremy Tunsil. Just the teams that made the bright moves. You know what I mean? The surprising move. Like, you know, I'm not setting this up because Will's returning to the program, but the Dave Gettleman surprise moves where they still had a strong draft and then traded back to get more capital for next year. I'm still blown away by the Justin Fields deal where it helped out both teams. Field now is going to be likely the week one starter in Chicago. At least that's what the odds are saying early, and they take care of themselves. They help each other out. The Giants also one of those teams as well that picked up a lot of capital for next year. And wouldn't you know it, Will West joining us now here on the program. You and I both, partner, we're getting flickerings in our homes trying to stay on the air this morning. Welcome back. But Will, even when you took a peek at that, three-day set between Thursday and Saturday, a lot of teams did themselves a lot of help, as I just mentioned, both the Bears and the Giants. And then, unfortunately, there are some teams, because they didn't have enough draft capital, they didn't show up at all, at least on the radar, when it comes to winners through those 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, the one that jumps out as far as winner, I think it's the Bears for jumping up. And it's a team that made the playoffs last year with terrible quarterback play. And they jump up, they do what they have to do to go get their quarterback. They didn't have to pay a ton to get there. They give up an extra one for next year. If Justin Fields hits, no one's going to care, right, at the end of the day. Yeah. I agree with you, the Giants as well, I would look at as a winner. They, I would have drafted Justin Fields at the 11th spot, I would have, when he was sitting there. But they're sticking with Daniel Jones, and if that's the case, to be able to trade back and really trade back a couple of times and pick up extra picks and stockpile picks because of that, I think that's absolutely huge. So I like that a lot. The losers, I'll agree with you. The Houston Texans are number one. They didn't have a first or second round pick. And then to take their first day two pick to spend it on David Mills, I guess I look at it and say, okay, you need an insurance policy for Deshaun Watson, but is David Mills that insurance policy?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. So
frankly, you brought up his name. He probably should still be in college, just to be honest with you.
Yeah.
A lot of people believed him jumping from Palo Alto to the NFL might have been a little bit of a panic move. He was trying to cash in. Good on him. He's a third-round selection. We'll dive more into David Mills today. But to me, David Mills should be one of those guys who left for the NFL a touch bit early.
What about the Minnesota Vikings? Because I think they could absolutely be a winner in this draft with the way that they drafted. One, they end up trading back, which is nice. But the big thing for me that they get is they get Christian Darrisaw, the tackle, as a first-round pick. He's a guy that should start for you. And then later on in the draft, they pick up, was it Wyatt Davis, is that his name, the guard out of Ohio State.
Yep.
I think that guy's a starter in the NFL as well. And so if you can, for a team that struggled on the offensive line, for you to get one guy that is a starter, another guy that probably, I think, in my opinion, will be a starter as well, that's not bad as well to pick that up. So I really, really, really like those picks from them. The Baltimore Ravens are another team I look at as a winner there, because the Baltimore Ravens, for me, it's what they did later on in the draft. I think Ben Cleveland's a starter in the league, and that's a team that needed guard help. They lost Orlando Brown at tackle as well through the trade, but they've got somebody who's going to plug and play into that position that played a lot of this past season. But then they needed guard help. They never did replace Marshall Yanda when he retired. So Ben Cleveland, in my opinion, can be that guy. So I think that's a fantastic pick for them. One team I want to ask you about, the Green Bay Packers. I like Amari Rodgers. I don't, especially in the third round.
Yeah.
But if you really, you needed to do one of two things. One, appease Aaron Rodgers. Two, get Jordan Love help. You wait until the third round for you to go do that. And I don't know that adding a corner that we'll see if he starts in the first round is going to be, if that's going to get that done. But either way, they either didn't get Aaron Rodgers enough help to make him say, okay, this team wants to keep me, or if Jordan Love's the next guy, did they give him enough help to for you to feel comfortable with him being able to step in and be successful in year two?
Why didn't you wait till the third round to save your draft?
Yeah.
Look, do you remember last year? Here are the Packers. They were sitting on the clock, and they had an opportunity to grab another Clemson product in the first round, and they just completely balked at the opportunity to take T. Hodges, to get help me, Cincinnati wide receiver. Why can't I think of his name?
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins. Thank you, not Hodges. Higgins. I'm sitting here and I'm asking myself, who's going to be the move that they can kind of complement with Devontae Adams? Now, granted, they have some okay other options in Green Bay. Will, how often do we see a team that knows they need a 1B to complement their 1A, even as good as their 1A is? Remember, they hooked up, I believe, 17 times last year did. Rodgers trying to find Higgins or Devontae Adams. So trying to find a complement for Adams, a T. Higgins, was an opportunity to be able to do that. Completely balked at the opportunity. So immediately you think to yourself, now I'm trying, this is going to be a comparison here, so stay with me. Immediately you think to yourself, man, they're looking for a big move, or they're trying to find something that's going to be able to be in the works to piece it together. Will, I thought for at least weeks, close to a month talking to Packers fans, they were going to spring for a deal to be able to acquire Odell Beckham. I understand that he was still fresh in Cleveland. Beckham's season comes to an end because he tears up his knee, and they miss an opportunity to really find that big piece that can get him over the hump against Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game. It didn't help, though, that Rodgers were throwing picks in that game. So here I am today thinking to myself, who are those teams that missed on an opportunity to get other playmakers for their standout pieces, and is there big trades in the works? This might have something to do with the Tennessee Titans coming up later in the program that I want to chat with you about. 6:11, good morning to you here on the starting lineup. Going to let you know, as you haven't already known, inclement weather outside of your windows this morning. Please be advised. A lot of standstill water on the interstates. Please give yourself enough time to get to your final destinations, work, getting the kids to school, whatever it may be this morning. Kaner, for anything they missed last night, give them their first Tennessee Lottery sports update here on the starting lineup.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Former Texas linebacker Juwan Mitchell has officially committed to Tennessee Monday afternoon. Mitchell led the Longhorns in tackles with 62 in 2020. Started 13 games in two seasons for Texas. Tennessee baseball's Jordan Beck was named the co-SEC Newcomer of the Week, totaling a .538 batting average, 7 hits, and 4 RBI in the weekend series against Kentucky. Beck ranked second on the team with 9 home runs and 42 runs driven in on the season. Atlanta Dream coach Nikki Collin is leaving the WNBA to take over as head coach at Baylor, replacing Kim Mulkey, who left for LSU a few weeks ago. The Tennessee Titans fourth-round pick Rashawn Weaver of Pittsburgh has been charged by the Pittsburgh Police Department with one count of simple assault in connection to an incident that occurred on April the 18th. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for October the 5th at the Pittsburgh Municipal Court. The Titans released a statement Monday saying they are aware of the situation and are looking into it. The Titans have not picked up the fifth-year option for linebacker Rashawn Evans, nor did the Cowboys on linebacker Leighton Vander Esch, or the Patriots for running back Sony Michel. Thursday night NFL football will move to a digital-only platform with Amazon Prime Video in 2022, 1 year earlier than originally planned. Thus, 2021, the final season, Thursday night football will air on Fox. Have some fun now and later with Quick Cash from the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by your nearest retailer and add Quick Cash, your Tennessee Cash, Lotto America, and Cash for Life ticket. Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
He refers to Dolly Parton as the one that got away.
Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
But when we talk about overall winners and losers from the draft or from the offseason, like who it's we're a lot of times we're projecting that forward 3-4 years down the line. I'm talking about just this year with the guys that they got that are immediate starters plus what they've done in free agency. Give me a team you think is the most improved this offseason in the National Football League.
You know, overall, I just look at everything that's happened from what they were doing from defensively last year and what they were doing offensively. Can this be an answer? And if it isn't, just be like, that's a cop-out, and no, that's not really an improvement. Can it not be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? How often do you see a team win the Super Bowl, and will they're able to bring back all 22 of their starters from that Super Bowl team? All 22 of them. And I know maybe maybe that's a cop-out. But when you sit there and look at everything where, well, they're going to have decisions they're going to have to make, they're going to have to find a way to be able to bring back all their playmakers, I don't know why I'm having difficulties talking this morning. What's the, handing out the one-year deals. Why am I not thinking right now? Help me here, boys. The one-year deals that they hand out. The
franchise tag.
Goodness gracious. You know, when you have to make a decision about Chris Godwin, when you're having to make a decision about who your wide receiver, I mean, when you can even get, now granted he was a small part of what they were doing, but Antonio Brown, how often do you see somebody, and maybe this is a Brady thing, but how often do you see them able to bring everybody back, and you're having some of your playmakers taking pay cuts to be able to come in as well? Everybody was trying to find a way to get to Tampa Bay, and if you're telling me right now, no, you can't use Tampa Bay, they've already won the Super Bowl, give me somebody else who did well as well. Overall, I look at what the Miami Dolphins are doing. You have kind of a bar that was set by Buffalo last year. So I would say right now, which is kind of hard to believe because of the reasons for both of those franchises, I think both teams in the state of Florida have done a heck of a job, one trying to stay on top of the mountain, the other one trying to chase down the leader in their division. I thought Miami, overall, what they've done during free agency and the draft has had a knockout last 3 to 4 months.
Okay, you know, one team that I really, really, really like what they've done so far, and a lot of it's what they've done in the draft, but then you also add Jared Cook to that. I love what the Chargers have done this offseason. Yeah, that's a 7-9 football team with the rookie quarterback last year that then adds Jared Cook to the mix. They add Rashawn Slater at tackle. They add Asante Samuel Jr., who I think is going to be a starter that they pick up in the second round, and I think he's an immediate starter for them. And then in round three, I think Josh Palmer is going to play in the league, and I think Josh Palmer is going to play this year, and he's going to make an immediate impact this year, especially with his ability downfield to go up and get a football and Justin Herbert having the bazooka arm that he has. Right. I think that Josh Palmer is going to surprise a lot of people, even in Tennessee, with how well he does. And then later on in the draft, for them to take Larry Roundtree in round six, at the end of round six.
He's finally leaving Columbia. Goodness gracious, that guy's there 8 years.
He's been there 14 years, right? So it's you're absolutely right there. So I don't know a lot about the linebacker from Iowa that they had, but Brendan James, the tackle out of Nebraska, he started 40 straight games for Nebraska. So there's a good shot that he gets that he at least is a backup tackle for this team. And then you have Chris Rumpf the second, who is Chris Rumpf's son, who's a linebacker out of Duke that they picked up at the fourth round, that I could absolutely see being a guy that starts out helping out in special teams but eventually becomes a dude on this team. If I look at one team that I think takes a step this year, and they're in a tough division to do that in, especially with what the Chiefs are, and then if you think about adding, okay, then possibly Aaron Rodgers comes in there, I think the Chargers are the team that I think overall is going to be the most improved this season.
What are the chances that the Chargers are not as bad as people thought they were? Anthony Lynn just had difficulties closing games last year. Well, I mean, don't have to bring up the stat of how many one-possession games the Chargers have lost over the last 2 years.
No, I mean, maybe he made some really bad decisions in big spots. He did. You're right. You're absolutely right. So I could agree there. I think that the offense will improve as well when you have another year under second-year quarterback, right? I mean, he's going to get better than he was during his rookie season, Justin Herbert is. So, yeah, I love the weapons that they have. I love that they added two more weapons for Justin Herbert. I love that they got better on the offensive line this year in the offseason. And that defense being healthy as well is going to be a big part of it. If there's one team I'm pointing to, it's not making those bonehead decisions and clutch moments, plus the defense finally getting healthy this year, presumably, and then adding the offensive line help and the weapons around Justin Herbert. I think the Chargers are a team that – that could surprise a lot of people. Not one in that division because of what the Chiefs are, but they could be. That could be a team that's pretty good. Kaner, are we missing somebody there?
Well, real quick, I just want to add to this, and I don't think they're getting enough credit, the Chargers are, for some of the things that they did in the draft. When we hear about teams that stayed put and the player just fell to them, who do we keep talking about? The New England Patriots. Look at Bill Belichick. They didn't have to trade up, and they finally got a quarterback of the future. Good on you, the Chargers. You got Mac Jones. All the reports that were coming out of Los Angeles was Justin Herbert was saying, go get me Penei Sewell. Yeah, former teammate. Yeah, I'm close with him, but it's a lot more than that. We need a left tackle. We need a left tackle. Don't let this happen where we can't get a left tackle. Chargers don't move. They stay where they are at 13. And what happens? Rashawn Slater's sitting there waiting for them. So if you want to talk about teams who need to be praised for remaining patient and letting things come to them, the Patriots are always a popular pick because the quarterback's a popular conversation. The Chargers need credit as well in the front office that Rashawn Slater was sitting for them at 13 and they didn't panic.
Well, I think the Patriots, more or less, just for what they've done this offseason. Of course, Mac Jones, you had a guy that was talked about going number 3 overall, but you get him at 15. You do bring back Cam Newton, which is not a sexy thing, but of course you can sit there and let him play and let Mac Jones learn. But other moves the Patriots did this offseason, Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, Jonnu Smith, yeah. Hunter Henry on the offensive end. You shored up that defense a little bit because, as we remember, there were so many of that front seven that either opted out or were unavailable for this season. Kyle Van Noy is not going to, you know, raise any eyebrows, but he's a steady guy that's been in the league for a long time. Yeah. Went back and got Trent Brown. So I think the moves the Patriots have made since free agency and then into the draft would characterize those guys as a winner in my book.
Yeah, I don't love that they did things out of desperation, but if you want to talk about who's going to be the most improved, the Patriots are going to be very improved this year if they can get any level of quarterback play.
If it's not New England, I would also then give a nod as well to, you know what? You're going to think this is me homering it up, but I've really liked what the Jets have done during the offseason as well. The Jets have hit so many categories that just have to get better offensively and in the draft. I personally believe the steal of the draft was that they sat there, and I kind of knew Elijah Moore might be on the radar because of how many times either Ian Rappaport or Todd McShay were coming across my social media timeline telling me, lots of calls are coming in on the Jets for the 34th overall pick, and I just kept thinking to myself, that's Elijah Moore. How many people are sitting there trying to trade up to get Elijah Moore? I hope the Jets don't take any of these offers. And as soon as New York went on the clock at 34 and the Ole Miss wide receiver was still there, I said, this is an opportunity for them to be able to get weapons for Zach Wilson. And what are they doing? They're doing the complete opposite that they did for Sam Darnold. They're actually getting him offensive line help. Will, you kind of helped me. You talked me into the selection to be able to trade up to be able to get Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC. And then you see them now build some of the offensive weapons. They were able to get a two-headed monster with Michael Carter. Him and Williams did massive work for Mac Brown's program in Chapel Hill. For the first time in a very long time, Will, I can't believe it. The Knicks are winning basketball games, and the Jets look like they didn't mess up their draft. And I'm here for every single bit of this.
I know we're up against it. I just want to point this out about the Knicks. This is what happens when you actually just go try to win every basketball game.
Right.
And you go play your best five. It doesn't happen anymore. It's because you try to play guys based on upside, or you're trying to play jockey for a pick, or you're trying to, you know, say load management guys and things like that for the playoffs. The Knicks are what happens when a team just goes and says, we're going to try to win literally every single basketball game, and we don't take a night off. You get what the New York Knicks are. So congratulations to you, Ivins.
Credit on Will West. When I asked him about the Tom Thibodeau pickup, he just said he's going to get the most he can out of that basketball team, so we'll find out how good you are. And guess what?
Yeah, we're going to win.
This team right now is breathing down Milwaukee's neck for the 3 seed with about 2 weeks ago in the NBA regular season. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Questions already about the Titans draft and then major news coming out yesterday. We have a lot we have to get into when it comes to the Titans. Not only that, but Aaron Rodgers. As the world turns with the NFL MVP, will he be taking snaps next year? And if it's not with him, how Denver has become the runaway favorite, not named Green Bay, to be the next candidate for his services. Tyler Ivins, Will West on 99.1, the Sports Animal. He waited in the green room for his name to be drafted in the 20s. You now look at Aaron Rodgers after multiple MVP awards, after Super Bowl championship, and so many other things that he's done for the community of Green Bay. It looks like they're now headed for a messy divorce. Unless, talking through his agency, all the things are done that he wants done, or he will retire and he's ready to ride off in the sunset. every day it seems like you have to decide, and you kind of have to sort through what is the BS, what is the actual stuff, and what's really going to happen between Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, because this is something I think both parties would like to have an answer to so they can get prepared for the 2022 season.
Yeah, and they need to figure this out, but the thing is, I don't think there is a figuring it out. And so it's unfortunate that it's got to this point, that it's gotten ugly, but I don't know what else you necessarily do here. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you were told you're going to be trading, now they're saying they're not going to trade you. With everything that's gone on there, that relationship is finished. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, this is how you have to play it out. Either you appease me or I'm out. And what that probably means is you're firing the GM.
Yep.
And you got to choose between Aaron Rodgers or the GM of the team right now. Because he's the one that drafted Jordan Love. He's the one that didn't. And let's be honest, right? What's the first thing the Bucs said when they drafted Jordan Love? Or when they drafted Kyle Trask? We kept Brady in the loop, right? What's the first thing that the Niners said when they drafted Trey Lance? We kept Jimmy Garoppolo in the loop. They did not keep him in the loop. They just kind of surprised and did it. And I know they're trying to sell now. Well, we tried to draft a wide receiver, but they were all off the board, so we couldn't draft a wide receiver.
Yeah,
if you remember how many wide receivers were out there 2 years ago, that's absolutely not true. I don't buy that at all. So what do you do? I don't think anybody looks good here necessarily, but I do think that it's a situation that we should have expected to happen, even if it's not something anybody wants to see.
Is there not a way, though, Aaron Rodgers can handle this more professionally? I mean,
I would be worse than this if I was Aaron Rodgers. I'll be honest with you. I'd have been on NFL Network and ESPN, and I'd have been like, trade me. I'll never play for them again. No matter what, if they try to keep me, I'll retire. But otherwise, I'd like to be traded. Here's who I'd like to go to, and I would make it known, and I would hurt their hand if I was them. Especially if you promise me all offseason you're going to trade me, and then without having a conversation with me, you decide you're not going to trade me. That's not a – they've done him a little – look, I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan. I don't think he's the greatest guy. He's an incredible player, but I don't think he's the best dude. But, man, the Packers have not handled this well at all.
I look at it from an Aaron Rodgers standpoint where he has never been afraid to be vocal about anything in his life. You know, even recently – he was coming out saying, I want the Jeopardy gig. Give me the Jeopardy gig. I want that. Give me everything that comes with this in the spotlight, all me. Give it to me. And it just seems like that there have been multiple times in the past where he could have shared or expressed to the front office in Green Bay, hey, this is what we need to do to be better, or this is how we need to handle things. And maybe he has front and center to the general manager in the front office. It doesn't need to be public, but it just feels like even recently now we're starting to hear more about Aaron Rodgers and his wants and his needs. If things aren't working out, or you don't feel like that there has, or you feel like there's been a disconnect and there hasn't been a real connection with you in your front office, then say something and move on, and then you're not stuck in this predicament in 2021. For me, the way he's kind of handling things, as soon as you saw things going south, much like it did for Brett Favre many years ago in Green Bay, then you get out of town and you go set yourself up with another position. And then you make it very clear where you stand on things last year and see if you can get a trade worked out even then. Now this whole let's have it play out, dictate through the media, where the media gets to determine. What I don't like about some of the national media anymore, Will, is you don't know what's real and you don't know what's just creating news. I think now we get to a point in time now where a lot of the national guys, they don't report the news, they try to make the news. And I think there are been some aspects of the Aaron Rodgers Green Bay situation where it just flat out hasn't been true, or they followed one or two breadcrumbs and it's taken them in the complete other direction and it hasn't really been 100% true of the situation that's gone on between Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. Yes, you don't have to get breadcrumbs to know what they have not done for Aaron Rodgers, and that's get him help. Substantial help that's able to keep him on the football field and help Green Bay win titles. They could have more than the one championship that they have right now with Aaron Rodgers under center if they actually went out there and they got him more offensive help. Like going out and signing Aaron Jones to an extension, is that smart right now? That's going to end up maybe coming back and helping them in a few areas, but why do you not go out and get him more than one target? You know, when you lose some of the players that you've lost, why do you not go out and make better decisions in the draft? So Aaron Rodgers has every right to be upset, but playing it out through the media, I just always think that this is a messy situation. But perhaps this is the situation that Green Bay needs so they have enough blood on their hands where people are going, shame on you, shame on you.
Well, I don't love that. You don't want it to have to play out through the media. But once you, behind closed doors, have come up with this is what we're going to do and this is what the exit strategy is going to be, and then without having a conversation with the player, they just decide that they're going to do something different and don't say a word to them. That, to me, is where I don't see what else Aaron Rodgers can do in that situation. And it isn't just you had Mike McCarthy, you didn't get him help all those years, right, when it came to getting him receiver help and getting him, at times, offensive line help. They eventually did that, but when, especially when it came to getting him weapons, you didn't get him that. So then McCarthy's out. You bring in Matt LaFleur, who, without talking to Aaron Rodgers, goes to the media and says, yeah, I'm the one calling plays. We're running my offense. This isn't Aaron Rodgers' offense. But doesn't tell Aaron Rodgers that, and he has to find out by a media member questioning him live on camera, right, that that's the case. So that already starts this going. And then, so are you going to finally get Aaron Rodgers' help? Are you going to finally get Aaron Rodgers' help? And instead you draft a quarterback in the first round without talking to him. To me, Green Bay created this, right? Aaron Rodgers is not handling it a way that you would like to see it handled, but I don't know what else you're supposed to do in that situation, especially if what Schefter and those guys reported is true, that he was told he's going to be traded, and then they, without talking to him, made the decision that they're not going to trade him and just went public with that information. I don't know where how else he's supposed to handle it. Frankly, I would have just gone right on television and said, yeah, I'm not doing this. I would have just handled it like that and said, all right, I tried to handle this behind closed doors. You don't want to handle this behind closed doors. You want to handle it in front of a camera? I'll handle my side in front of a camera, too. He hasn't quite done that, but I don't like the soap opera aspect that it's become because he hasn't just gone on camera and said what he has to say.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivan, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Has Aaron Rodgers changed his tune where we do it my way or I hit the highway? And if that is the case, can the Denver Broncos be the team that comes in, swoops in, and has the biggest hand to deal to the Green Bay Packers? And Will, coming up later in the show, I'm going to have you put a general manager hat on, because if you even know where to start on how to offer up the MVP and have him acquired to your team, tell me. Because it's never happened in NFL history before. We've never seen the reigning NFL MVP get traded to the new team the next season. And could it be the Denver Broncos again, who took advantage of the Peyton Manning fiasco with Jim Irsay in Indianapolis? It feels like just short of a decade ago. Love it or leave it. Plus, more to get to in the NFL draft in the next 19 minutes here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Former Texas linebacker Juwan Mitchell officially commits to Tennessee. That happened Monday afternoon. Mitchell led the Longhorns in tackles with 62 in 2020, started 13 games in two seasons for Texas. Tennessee baseball's Jordan Beck was named the co-SEC newcomer of the week, totaling a .538 batting average with 7 hits, 4 RBI on the weekend against the weekend series against Kentucky. Beck ranked second on the team in home runs with 9 and with 42 runs driven in as well. Tennessee Titans fourth-round pick Rashawn Weaver of Pittsburgh has been charged by the Pittsburgh police with one count of simple assault in connection to an incident that occurred on April the 18th. Tennessee Titans released a statement saying that they're aware of the situation and are looking into it. The Titans have not picked up the fifth-year option for linebacker Rashawn Evans, nor did the Cowboys on linebacker Leighton Vander Esch, or the Patriots on running back Sony Michel. Thursday Night Football will move to a digital-only platform with Amazon Prime in 2022. That's 1 year earlier than expected. Thus, 2021 will be the final year that the Thursday night game is aired on Fox. Dodgers starting pitcher Dustin May will undergo season-ending Tommy John surgery to repair a damaged UCL. May posted a 2.93 ERA with 111 strikeouts over the past three seasons in various roles. Have fun now and later with Quick Cash from the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by your nearest retailer and add Quick Cash to your Tennessee Cash, Lotto America, and Cash for Life ticket. Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Well, final segment of the opening hour. Your Tuesday, May the 4th. Nerd alert, you two.
Say it, say it.
Are we ranking Star Wars movies?
No, we're not. No, the buck Mayhaps. Stops here. I will turn this car around. Come on. Boys, you know better. Not everybody here, you know, I thought this was going to be a group effort until one of us actually watches all the films.
Well, I mean, I can't sit around and wait for you to do that your entire
week. We've only had 40 years.
We've been on you for 2 years.
You don't know what it's like. What's the line? You don't know the power of the dark side. Yeah, see, look, I've seen it.
Okay.
What? Carrie Fisher, attractive outfit? Like, I get it, man. I get it. Trust me, I get it. Han Solo boot vest season. I'm here for it.
No, that's the month of what? September and October.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna say that's every girl at the second UT tailgate. Even though it's still 86 degrees outside, but she already bought her fall clothes.
Man, there's going to be a lot of attention paid to when Bowling Green comes to town. It is May the 4th. I hope all of you Wookiees and Andors and your brrrrs are doing well today. That being said, Eric Kane, please, unless it's all about Star Wars, I'm not here for it, but it's Tuesday and it's love it or leave it.
All right, boys, Vegas odds were released for the NFL rookie season on Monday. One particular over and under wager for week one starters is set at 2.5. Love it or leave it, three or more rookies will start the 2021 season.
All right, quarterback or period?
I would assume quarterback, right, Ty?
Quarterback, yeah.
Okay.
Nail
that over. That's free money.
Actually, do you not still want to nail that over, free money? Trevor Lawrence, yes. Zach Wilson, yes. Will, Deshaun Watson is not starting week one for the Houston Texans. David Mills is drafted third for a reason, right? I mean, we can go through the list of other rookies who, might also start. I think it's a slam dunk that Mills, Wilson, and Lawrence are starting. That's why the hook's in there, and I think I could even pull out a fourth quarterback, but I'll just stay at the three who I know almost are guaranteed to start. Yeah, hammer that over.
I am going to take the under. I'll leave this. I will say Mills does not start. They pull somebody off the scrap heap. So they find someone somewhere. Drew Locke's going to be on the scrap heap right now, maybe even Teddy Bridgewater, depending on what happens with what happens with Aaron Rodgers if he ends up going to Denver. So give me under. I think it's the two. I will leave this.
That fourth one I'm questioning as well as Justin Fields in Chicago, but I'm not 100% on that.
Major League Baseball set a record for strikeouts in a month with 6,924 in April. Oh. Love or leave it, the totals will continue to climb as the season progresses.
Yeah, I love this. I mean, absolutely, it's going to. It's strikeouts and home runs, right? It's not something that's enjoyable to watch. It's not bad to throw one if you're staring at your phone the whole time and you just kind of look up every now and again. Man, it is tough to just sit and watch pitch in, pitch out until you get to the postseason these days. So, yeah, I love this. It's absolutely going to continue to climb.
Not only that, but the hits are going to continue to drop as well. Not only was that a new record in the month of April for Major League Baseball, boys, but also the difference between punches and hits as well. So offense will continue to struggle. Here's the crazy part. Five of the lowest batting averages in all of Major League Baseball, three of those teams are currently leading their divisions. So it's not really affecting a lot of the offense, but the pitchers clearly dominating the first 4 weeks of the season.
LeBron James told the media the creator of the play-in tournament for the NBA playoffs should be fired as the Lakers continue to tumble down the standings. Love or leave it, Los Angeles will miss the postseason.
Changing his tune, isn't he, Will West? Beginning of the year, he was talking about the excellence of the Western Conference, that it'd be excellent and amazing to see teams like, New Orleans and Sacramento and some of those other bottom feeders having to play each other, perhaps maybe even upwards of 3 to 5 times, kind of a appetizer to the first round action. Now it's the Lakers who can't stay healthy, and it's the Lakers tumbling in the standings, and now LeBron James says that guy should be fired. My, he has changed his tune when Los Angeles can't win basketball games.
Yeah, no, look, leave this. They're going to make the playoffs. It's going to be fine, although it's you never like when somebody's making excuses ahead of time, right?
Yep.
That's never a good sign. Because you know what follows those excuses? Lack of effort. That's what usually follows those excuses. I leave this, though. Lakers are going to make the playoffs, and this is also why, no matter how great LeBron is, for the most part, most people don't like him.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's fix this. LeBron James, leave it.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's still not too happy over the elbow to the head cool from two nights ago, yeah?
Oh, I just hope he's okay. I mean, I really do. Will West, you saw that, right? I mean,
no, I didn't see it.
Well, I mean, you've seen it 17,000 other times
in his career.
No, because,
Will, there's nothing to see. Will, yeah. There's nothing to see.
Oh, okay. So, with Sniper got him again?
Another flop. Oh. Another flop. Yeah. It was bad. The NHL playoffs begin 1 week from today with the Predators holding on to the final spots, playoff spot by 3 points. Love it or leave it, Nashville will make the postseason.
I love this. I don't think they will, but I'm going to be positive, so I'm going to love this, and I'm going to say Nashville makes the postseason.
And it's because of who they're chasing or chasing them. Dallas, Nashville's actually owned the Stars this year. Go back to look at the draws at the beginning of the year. Everybody looked at the divisions, the COVID divisions drawn up, and they saw the Predators division, and what did they say? How are you going to do this to Nashville? You're putting both teams who were in the Stanley Cup final last year in Nashville's division, the Predators. Nice showing against Dallas. They're going to hold off the Stars. Preds make the postseason. Congratulations. People who stuck through this tough season with the Preds, they're going to get rewarded. 1 week from today, they'll be playing postseason hockey.
All right, last up, former Bengals wide receiver Chad Johnson is set to compete in an exhibition match in the undercard before Floyd Mayweather takes on Jake Paul. Love or leave it, the addition of Ocho Cinco will get you to purchase the card on June the 6th.
Will, what would have to happen in the undercard or in the main event for you to actually purchase this card?
One Wrestling of you Bears, two would like have what? To be fighting, and we have to, and it would be on our show prep list. That's the only way. I wouldn't pay it if just you guys were there. I'd be like, okay, it's the replay. It's fine. You know, but no. This is what boxing's become, right? That this is what we're doing now for boxing, to be able to get pay-per-view buys. Good gosh, sell this to a network and put it on television and, you know, at least get somebody out there fighting. This is just stupid.
Will, I'd rather take my money, I'd rather take my time and patience to New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center, because I'm going to get more out of those fantastic pair of shoes that Sharon and her staff set me up with than watching Chad Ocho Cinco make $1 million to dance around the ring and maybe take a couple of shots to the jaw.
Yeah, no. The New Balance Knoxville Suburban Shopping Center, they're actually awesome at what they do, unlike the world of boxing these days. But look, the perfect fit every time for you at New Balance Knoxville. You'll love the styles and colorways they have for spring. It's New Balance Knoxville.
Aaron Rodgers, the NFL draft, and a deeper dive on what's happening right now with John Robinson's Titans.